Welcome back to the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake.
A very deathly feeling, Jake, we must add.
Yeah, but it adds an extra layer to my voice. There's some more gravitas. I made sure to record some things yesterday just whilst I had these dulcet tones.
Yeah, sometimes I get like that. I feel like I can sing like Kelly Jones from the Stereophonics. Blast it out. But so for any new listeners, to all our original listeners, welcome back. To any new listeners, this is a podcast about magic trick creativity. We don't tend to spend a lot of time talking about how we're feeling or what's been happening in the world around us outside of magic. We just try to delve straight into the good shit because there's a million other places you could hear people talk about that stuff. So I actually have no idea what we're going to talk about this week, but I suppose we could get sort of slightly into the replies online from some of the people that had ideas about last week's episode for the psychological force and stuff. Seems so
forward,
and the community has been excited about it. And you can all go and join that community on Facebook or email us. Go to theblackartcode.com and then you can find the Facebook group there and things like that. But yeah, I had a look at some of the comments. I actually joined the Facebook group.
I noticed. People were shocked.
Only because I don't generally use like social media for like stuff like this, but there was some interesting stuff, and a lot of people because basically explain your psych force and then what we did.
Okay, so before I get into this, I will preface this by saying I'm not sure if it would necessarily class as a psych force or not. I mean, I certainly don't obey everything that he says, but every now and again I read the jerks purely because I am a magician and it is a magic blog that serves a purpose. And I remember that there was one article he wrote about psych forces where he said something along the lines of, and I am paraphrasing here, something along the lines of, if it's just an answer that everyone gives to a question, then maybe it isn't a psych force. If it's just a common answer, and if you were to ask someone, what do you think the answer to this question is? And they said it, and you ask them, what do you think the most common answer to this question is? And they still said it, then maybe it isn't necessarily a psych force, which, whilst I may not agree with everything he says, had me thinking, okay, maybe this doesn't necessarily class as a psych force, but it can be used as a psych force in a way. Yeah. And essentially, it is just asking about the personalities of cards, hinting that, you know, anyone who has picked up a deck of cards might have, what's the right word, anthropomorphized the cards and given them some kind of a personality. When I see the Seven of Diamonds, I see a sassy, classy lady because the seven reminds me of a high heels and, you know, the red diamonds, almost like the lady in red from The Matrix. But
not the Christa Burr song.
Yeah. Whenever I ask people what card they think is has the most criminal tendencies and which card is the most likely to end up in prison.
We didn't tell them what card you were trying to force last week. We actually had people answer in the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so carry on.
So
the card you're trying to force is
the card that I'm usually trying to force with that is Jack of Clubs is the most commonly chosen, then King of Clubs usually comes after. Maybe once or twice I've had Queen of Spades, and I do have reasonings why I think these were chosen, but yeah, they're the three most common. It's usually just Jack of Clubs though.
Yeah, so in the Facebook group, we had Russ Jackson thought of the Jack of Clubs. Seth Ian Howard thought of the Jack of Clubs. Did you get Darren Close with it in person and me?
Yeah.
Darren Close said, yeah, yours floored me in person. You got me with it in person, 100%. Joe Reeves had it. But then there were some other answers from like Billy Fisher, Tom Gibbons. Where else were some of the answers? But a few people got like, Billy Fisher got Eight of Clubs, which is interesting. Tom Gibbons got the King of Hearts, which is interesting. Again, that's a picture card. It's interesting that the clubs, the Eight of Clubs. I always kind of sort of pair certain cards together.
Yeah.
Like Eight of Clubs, Jack of Clubs, and they sort of live in that sort of realm. I like the King of Hearts, even Jack of Clubs in my head go together. Whereas like the King of Diamonds and the Jack of Clubs seems very jarring. I know that sounds really ridiculous to say out loud.
No, yeah. I get you. There's like a flow to shapes and stuff and feels.
Yeah, there's like an affinity to them and stuff. But yeah, so I mean, The tricky thing is, you did this over a podcast, in person for potentially for maybe reasons unknown, and things you can use. For example, like if you know that some people tend to name an eight of clubs or a king of hearts, you could put that on the face of the deck, one of those on the face of the deck, leave it face up on the table and throw one out. So then they sort of gets rid of them from the answer sheet. Because you could say, you know, don't obviously use anything that you can see as an influence or hear as an influence. Go for something of your own volition.
And I don't necessarily class testing something in under a in a different medium as like a fail of any kind. I know some people might try and wash it away if something doesn't work, but I'm not too fussed. Purely from personal experience, I know that the hit rate in person is so much more because you have that pressure, you know, the subtle pressure that you put on someone to answer and not just to pick their favorite card or something.
Or drift off and think for a long time and
Or wait until the end of an episode once they've had 20 minutes to think about it and come up with
I'm
a.
actually impressed the amount of people that got it right though. I still didn't think because it just like what you said, like because they people might wait till the end or whatever to answer, or it's not in person. I actually think that the amount of people that got it right is proof of how good this is. But what's interesting to me is that, unlike other psych forces, especially like, you know, you see the Darren Brown psych force and other ones like that, which are quite physical. It's almost like when you watch those, you kind of know what they're trying to force you on. Whereas this one, it does feel like you're guided to it, but it doesn't feel so like, okay, now picture the pips down the middle of the card and imagine the shape and you're showing that diamond right in front of their eyes. It doesn't feel as, well, quite literally forced. And as you said, then I suppose it's not a force. And it opens up a whole, not, I suppose, new way of thinking. But I do like the idea of just having someone like just getting a card named, but not in a psychological forcing way, but in like a commonly named card, and then just going with it as if it's been picked. You know?
And I do have kind of a reason for why I think people go towards that. And I can't necessarily remember the exact moment when I first started thinking about it, but I think it is just if you're asking someone to picture a personality, they will usually go for the faces, because they're the most human-like. And maybe perhaps because I've thrown out a number beforehand, although I don't always do that anyway. But out of the face cards, the king and the queen are fairly regal and proper. Unless it's the Queen of Spades, which is almost kind of like a grim fairy tale aspect to it, you know, like the evil stepmother queen or something. But the Jack is like a roguish character, I think. It's like a troublemaker. It's like the, I don't know, I don't fully know why, but I just think the Jack seems like the most mischievous of them. And clubs,
Jack and
people,
Joker, I think, because they go together.
yeah. No, oh yeah, 100%. And people, I think you yourself maybe kind of viewed just in the word itself, club, as denominating a weapon almost, even though that's not what it represents. It's, I think the spades actually represents a weapon. It's the, what's it called? A halberd or halbert or something. I don't know. It's like the end of a spear. Well, it depends. There's obviously different countries have different variants on
Oh,
the,
yeah, the pointy bit.
yeah. But I think people sometimes view the club as quite a, like a blunt weapon way. So I think that's where it comes from.
So last night we were meshing. I don't know if we can delve into what we were talking about. I'm comfortable with it, but I know that there's some methodology there which is based off of what something you've shared.
Oh, I don't mind.
You sure? Because I won't give away what it was, where the method comes from, but because then that won't give anything away. But so, because I was thinking, right, after last episode, well, I was thinking last night, based off our conversation last episode, was this whole casual nature of force. And then it got me somewhere else. But before I get into what we were specifically chatting about, I was thinking of like, so like a word association game. But I know this is a common theme in Magic, but like, for example, I don't know. I don't even know how I would get into this, right? But if I said to you the number three, what number would you think of?
Seven.
If I said to you the number four, what would you think of?
Probably six.
Yeah, eight.
I'm trying not to be obvious, but I probably would just go for two.
Okay, the next one, just think in your head.
Okay.
Jack. Okay, don't say it out loud. So then I'm guessing you went for king.
I actually went for Queen.
Okay, Jack Queen. But it was either gonna be King or Queen. It was just one of two. The funny thing is, like, I don't think it'd be possible to think of. I mean, it obviously is possible, but it feels like it's almost impossible to think of anything but Jack or Queen. And it could be like an interesting exercise. Like, we're gonna play a game of quick fire. Just name any random thing that comes to your head as a word association. So like literally do this now, right? And like this is kind of how it would play. So I'd say, Jake, I'm gonna name some random values and cards and things, and you just say whatever one comes to mind until we say stop and you're gonna think of the next one. So
7,
two,
8,
four,
6,
seven,
3,
eight.
2.
Okay, just think of the next one, Jack. Okay, perfect. So then from here, you could reframe and say, look, you just be, like there was nothing in common with any of those answers. The eights, sevens, threes, jacks, whatever. But it's allowed you to think of almost every at some point every single value and everything every single value of card has been named, and the last one you're just thinking of. And it Maybe it feels I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking of it from a biased point of view, where I think it kind of could work. But do you think that would feel forced, or do you think it kind of feels like it's free flowing?
So I think sometimes we suffer from just looking at something purely as a magician, don't we? Maybe if you were looking at it as a layman, you'd think, well, we named every other one, so it's just the one that hasn't been named yet that we're thinking of.
Well, I did make sure to name ones you named as well. So I said like three and then sevens, because I could reframe that in. It's like, oh, look, we can name some of them a few times, some none.
I think it would work.
Then you don't even need two outs. You could just, and then the suit is, oh, I've used the suit force for years. And I think I sort of created it because I wrote it up in a book like 15 years ago, like a little PDF thing, but well, nothing new under the sun. But it's just give this value a suit, but make it a random one. Like everyone knows spades is the poker suit, and give it one you think that the least amount of people would go for, so it would catch me off guard. You know, one you don't even know what it represents. And you have clubs. And then you could just have a king and queen of clubs as a double backer, double facer even in your pocket or in a envelope.
I love it.
Maybe.
I love limited indexes where when you're going for a force, it just makes it you know, like when you equally have to put as much work into the force as retrieving the card if there's like a limited index. I love that marrying of Mark Spellman does it really well in some of his stuff where there's it's half force and half a really clever index.
Oh, okay. My mind went somewhere else then, but anyway, right. So we that was the trailer thought that started me on the conversation we had, right? And then it ended up as this. So what I said was, this is based off something you've put out. I won't name what it is because it's really clever. It's really good. It's actually my favorite thing that I've seen at the convention. To watch you just fucking smash people with it,
Thanks,
pardon
man.
French. But the idea is basically that you'd say to someone, you have them hold their hand out, palm down, and you'd say, "I'm going to hold your hand, and I'm going to try to transmit to you the values of the playing cards." And as you do that, you could say, for example, ace, and you tap them underneath their palm, and then you say two, three, and so on, right? So you say, I'm going to count through the values of the playing cards, and I'm transmit and I'll be transmitting them to you through touch, which seems fair and above board to everyone watching, and even the person whose hand you're tapping. You could probably do the tapping right out in the open, like on their shoulder or something, but there's something nice about holding their hand. And then if they don't acknowledge that you're physically tapping them, then everyone else just looks like you're holding their hand as well. So you do this and you cycle through the values, ace, two, three, all the way up to Jack, Queen, King. And you say all you need to do is just focus on if any of those stood out to you. I before you begin, this is like you added to it, which is fucking brilliant. You say like, so I'm gonna send you a playing card. Right, we're gonna try and I'm gonna try and send you a playing card. So you hold them, you explain, like, for example, eight of hearts, and you tap them, or king of diamonds, three of spades. And anyway, so then you say, so we're gonna try and do this first First of all, through the value of the card, and then through the suit. And just focus on if any of them stood out to you or felt different to you that than the rest, or whatever way you want to frame it, so that they pay attention to one over the others, right?
Yeah.
And basically, and there's so much we can explore here, and we kind of did a lot last night, but the number seven is the only value from Ace to King that has two syllables in it. So as you're tapping them for each card, and like when you did the exam, when you show them the example of the full card, like Ace of Spades, you're tapping the syllables, right? So you're not doing anything but just being honest. You're tapping them for each thing, but seven is the only value that has two syllables. So that card get so that value gets tapped twice, and as you quickly fucking pointed out, is that I'm swearing a lot today. I don't mean to, sorry. As you quickly pointed out, diamonds is the only suit that has two syllables. So the there's only one card they can pick up on as being different or standing out.
Yeah.
And again, your idea, which was to be, like sort of before slash or after, is to sort of muddy the waters, I think the word you use was, by saying or and indicating actually like tapping for a full named playing card like Ace of Spades, Seven of Hearts, or whatever it's going to be, because then that whole because to the people watching they because they only see you hear you give the example of Ace two and three and then Jack Queen King, and one card, they don't actually stop to realize that only one card has two syllable one value and suit only has two syllables in it. So to everyone else, it just looks like you're
Yeah.
tapping once. But you know what I mean? Maybe I'm not doing a good job of explaining, and maybe it's not.
No, I think people understand. It's such an interesting, weird one because it seems so basic and obvious, but I find that some of the best mentalism and magic is always the most basic, obvious things that you can hide. I mean,
Yeah.
it's the simplest dual realities are some of the best. And if you're just holding someone's hand and pulsing the beat of the playing card to them through syllables, then it can look fairly invisible if you want it to, or it can be out in the open and it looks fair.
Exactly. Well, so here's where it started to get more interesting then after this, which was first of all the idea of you don't even need to do it. You can instruct two participants to do it. So you could have one part, you could teach one person, you could say, look, if you're like for example, if my wife's name is Kaylee. So I could say, Kaylee, your name is Kaylee. Tapped. If you were to hold your say her sister Rian's hand, if you'd hold her hand and silently send her your name, you would for each syllable, Kate Lee Barnes, right? And so you instruct them of how this the tapping works, kind of like a Morse code thing. And
Yeah.
then you'd say, and you're going to do this for the playing card, so ace, two, all the way up to king. And then your idea, Jake, was to force them the seven of diamonds. And then so you could so first of all, the first interesting thing is that you say, so whatever card you have, do not show, in this case, Kaylee's sister Rian the card, but send it to her. And then the thinking that I had afterwards is that, like, if you said, what I want you to do is send it in two parts. First of all, send the value. So in this case, Kaylee would say tap tap. And then secondly, send the suit. Tap tap. And then all you'd have to say to the second participant, in this case, imaginary Kaylee's sister, you say, so what I want you to do is think about what information Kaylee sent you. Obviously, there's a plethora of different cards to be, but just think about the first one, cycle through the values, think about which one it could be. And then for the suits, do the same thing. The only one they can naturally think of, as long as it's not explained as confusing as I've done it here, but the only conclusion they can come to is seven of diamonds,
Yeah.
which I think is interesting. The only person that's not getting the full experience of that is a person on the receiving end. So in this case, it would be Kaylee's sister, because she would only be left at seven of diamonds. Whereas the person sending it, they're not cycling through all the values and the suits in their head, because they're just saying the only one. They're not realizing that they haven't stopped to think that there's only two syllables. The only two syllable suit and value is seven of diamonds, because they've picked the seven of diamonds. So they're not thinking of aces and threes and fours and fives and all the spades, clubs, and hearts. So to them, it's amazing because they think there could be loads of different outcomes. To everybody else watching, it looks incredible. It looks like they've got this impossible communication, and even to the person deciphering it, even even if they're kind of in on how it could work, because they've they've literally just figured it out,
Yeah.
then it's still, I still think you could just frame it as a piece of magic, but maybe there would just need to be some tidying up on the ends.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people get in their own head about dual reality stuff when dual reality has always been the minor effect being used like underneath a major effect.
Yeah.
And if people, if someone figures out what, that there's this minor effect going on, they're still seeing the minor effect, same as the people who are up on the stage.
Yeah. I wonder if the way to clean it up is that you force some, you have them do it in reverse then. So whatever card that they come to as a conclusion, the
Yeah.
participant receiver, in this case, she's like, okay, I've figured out it's the seven of diamonds. Then you say now you're going to send something back, and in whatever for but in this case you hide. It's very, maybe there is multiple things. She realizes there's many things there could be that she's sending back,
Yeah.
and you then force the person to Kaylee in this case onto the right answer. Maybe there's maybe there's one of five things it could be, and you say, I've got an envelope. I'm gonna hold your hand, Rian, and your hand. You're gonna transmit to me one of these, it's just like a restricted list of five things. What do you think it could be? And then you reveal the one in five out. So then even though she's tapped and it could, and she realizes that she could have tapped and it would have been, they all would have had the same amount of taps,
Yeah.
and it's still an effect for her. So it cancels out the method in a way.
Yeah, I think that works. I really like this. I just like this kind of premise. I just think it's fun.
Yeah.
It's quite a playful one.
Yeah, there's a lot of places it can go. I wonder if you can combine the two ideas, which is like, I'm gonna tap you, and every time I do, you're gonna think of no, I don't know. Maybe that's too wild. Too wild.
There's a you're supposed to go wild in this. Hang on a second, one second. Let me sit up because I'm almost falling asleep here. I shouldn't be laying back. I need to give this my full attention. Apologies, Lloyd. I had my eyes closed just listening to what you were saying, and it was sending me off to sleep. Not in a bad way, don't worry. What could you do that is a little bit different by combining them?
I'm not sure. I used to try and think of just going back to the original thing of, sorry, going way, way back to your idea, your force of which card would be most likely to go to prison. I used to mess with a thing and it was crap. It was really crap. But it makes me, now you saying it, like, makes me wonder how much more you could explore it. So I
Yeah.
used to say, I've never, I tried like once or twice, but like it was terrible. But basically, I would try to have them think of a card, playing card. I can't even remember what it all was. I remember I used to live in an apartment, third floor apartment. So it was a long time ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago or something. But and the whole thing was like, you're trying to force them to think of the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
And I can't remember the way it was, but there was the whole casual name. But it was along that line of thinking of, yes, it's a force, but also, I don't know. I can't put my finger on what it was. But I wonder if you had a list of movies like Maverick, 21, Ocean's 11, what's it called? Alice in Wonderland. All these movies that feature playing cards in them.
Right.
And I wonder if you say, here's a list of, the Batman's got the Joker in it, and there was that what's that bank robbing one? I can't remember what it's called, but you say these are all movies, and the reason I've got them in my notes, or why I like them, why they're on this poster, is because they all have the prestige. Like, they all have an element of magic in them, and at some point, playing cards are used throughout the movies. So,
Right, okay.
think of any movie off this list, and if you can. If you can remember, think of the playing card commonly featured throughout that movie. And if you had a list of 52 movies that had playing cards in it, so that you could say, look, the interesting thing is every card in the deck is featured within these movies. So if depending if it's more popular or less popular, I don't know, whatever. And then you somehow, even if it was written down on a piece of paper on a list and all the even ones were Alice in Wonderland, switch the list. You say think of a number between 1 and 52, but double it as long as it's still under 52. And then it'll always be on an even number or
Yeah.
something like that. You know what I mean? But like, it could even be.
In a way, you're kind of almost using the stupid principle there, because regardless of if a movie does feature a card fairly prominently, I don't think I don't think there's many I'd be able to name what the card was, even if I knew that there was cards in the film. So I wouldn't go for those ones. I would go for well, Batman or Alice in Wonderland, where I knew for sure.
Would it feel too obvious, do you think, when they're like, oh, well, yeah, you could say that such and such a film, The Three of Spades, was very prominent, but I'm not gonna know that. But everyone knows Alice in Wonderland, the Queen of Hearts.
I don't know, because sometimes even the stuff that seems the most obvious, you can still get away with. So
Yeah, that's true.
it might be fine.
I always have to like bring myself back to reality, like back down to earth, and remember the stuff that destroys laymen is often the stuff that magicians turn their nose up at.
It's the cruel paradox of creating magic. Oh, I really want to be a magician's magician. Well, you don't have to fool a layman.
But yeah, there's got to be something out in the ether here. No, the thing is, no psych force is ever surefire. I think that's like, if anyone's to write a book, Pew, and there probably has been, I think Pete Turner did a whole series on them of psych forces. I think the only thing that needs to be written in the fucking opening intro is that like no psych force is ever 100% surefire. Because you do just get idiots. Not, I, you know, you should never blame spectators, but you do get some people that don't care about what you're saying. They're like, they're gonna be the alpha of the group, and they're gonna just say whatever they want. You know, you.
I mean, most people, when they perform that kind of stuff, though, you have a little a vetting stage when you're speaking to someone, and you can kind of pick up whether they're just going to name their favorite card regardless of what you say, or whether they're even listening to you by, preface and stuff with subtle instructions, and seeing if they actually follow them.
Yeah, true. The interesting element, again, going back to it, is like that maybe like instead of it even just being like a like you're getting them to name a card. So instead of saying like which card do you think is going to go to prison or what prominent playing card can you picture from a movie, maybe it's more along the lines of like you casually just get them to throw out a card and that becomes a selection. For example, like if say we were talking about films, right? It's hard to play along here because you know exactly where I'm going. But if I was like, oh, have you ever seen you? Are you a movie? Do you like watching movies, Jake? Yeah. Do you ever watch? Have you watched like? Do you only watch like one type of film, or have you seen loads like animations and stuff as well?
Oh no, I watch anything, yeah. Anything different.
Oh, great! Have you ever seen any playing cards in any movies? No, that's a crazy question. Can you think of any of those off the top of your head, like the movies or the cards? So bad.
The Joker in Batman. The Joker
Okay,
had the
yeah,
Joker
perfect choice.
cards.
Very popular choice. So once you'd named it like that, you could then reframe like, okay, this is interesting. Now you could have said, it's funny you said the Joker in Batman because most people say Queen of Hearts and Alice in Wonderland or the is it Ace of Spades or something in Maverick? I don't know. Or the XYZ and XYZ and da 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 da. But you went for the Joker in Batman, which tells me, like I say, this tells me that you're a middle-aged white guy that's into action movies, brought up on da da, and this, basically, you could do like a bit of cold reading on them. And then at the end, you could reveal the Joker is the only card in your pocket, but it's. Can you kind of see what I'm getting at? Like, I didn't ask you specifically to like, right, now name any card that comes to mind, and then use it as like the and it's in my pocket. It's more like it's casual.
You know what could be an interesting approach to it then? If it's kind of casual, kind of almost a psychological evaluation, you could use it in a one ahead and it doesn't really matter if you hit it, because you could be, if I said to you, okay, I want you to just think of the first book that comes to your mind, and you say, I don't know, Goosebumps or something, and I write down Jack of Clubs, and then I say, blah 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 blah, and I go through like a really simple one ahead. And I mean, even if you don't, I love this about one ahead, that there are certain times where it doesn't really matter if you hit what your one ahead essentially is. I do it myself with book tests. There's certain elements where a miss isn't a failure. It's just like, well, I got this part off. But if it hits, which it can do a lot of the time, it makes the one ahead seem like there's no way there could be a one ahead in there.
Yeah, because yeah, they don't know where it's going. They don't realize it's going to be a thing.
Although I do hate using cards in one aheads, but this is a bit different.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, now my mind's going. I'd be interested to do a poll to lay people.
Yeah.
I yeah, the thing is, like, it seems like it's such a potentially good thing that it seems wasted to use it on playing cards. I was like, oh, by the way, you were thinking of the Seven of Hearts. Ta-da!
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to do a poll if you were to say, like, have you, can you think of any playing cards featured in movies? Which is, oh, any, it's hard, it sounds stupid even just trying to phrase it as a question, you know what I mean? But.
Yeah, I get you. It's, I don't know. I think it's always worthwhile. I think sometimes as well, as magicians, when we're trying to move out of a certain box, we say, "Oh, I'll get rid of the playing cards." But sometimes, because it doesn't crop up too often in their day-to-day life, there's a lot of laymen who don't mind the playing cards as much as I might not perform with them that often. Very often, it's the first thing that you get asked if someone finds out you're a magician, or they
Yeah.
ask about the cards. So I guess it doesn't
They
mind. It's just
establish you
personal
well, right?
preference thing, isn't it?
They establish you, don't they?
Yeah. It's a totem. It's a just a universal symbol. It's the best opener is to have a pack of playing cards somewhere.
Yeah, very, very good point.
But I love.
Hello? Did I just lose you, Jake? I may have potentially just lost Jake. I don't know whether he just died mid-sentence or if his internet cut out. I'm going to
We're on,
assume.
so I can't see if you're nodding or giving me the thumbs up, but I think you know what I'm on about.
We lost you about 20 seconds ago, right at the start of it. You said, like, what I love about, and then I thought you died. So
I may very well have died
I thought you did.
in real life. What I was saying was, what I love about it is, I can't remember. I went on to a whole different thing. I've been playing with Psych Forces a lot lately, because there is something I've been working on at the moment, that is like a deck of cards that is to do with psychological stuff. I think you'd know which one I'm on about. I've shown you some images from it,
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, that's good.
and there is an element of that that involves psych forces. So I've been making up these cards, which are very specific imagery. And so I've been trying to explore a lot of kind of new psych forces with it. And I don't know, I love the opportunity to test out in different ways. So I'm going to include that Jack of Clubs one in there, I think. I'm just trying to figure out the right way to include it.
Just write it as is. Oh, do you mean within the new thing you were showing me?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because I don't
Oh,
think I've
okay.
shown you any of the psych force cards that come with it, and they're kind of cool the way that they're framed. I don't, you know what? It's not fair to be talking
So,
about stuff so.
just on like on a separate thing then, like it is interesting once you start to explore psych forces in other realms.
Yeah.
Outside playing cards. I'm happy to talk about this one. I think maybe I have already, but I actually once spent like £500 or something on a bunch of, well, I won't say what they are because maybe the psych force will work, but I'll explain it and then I will say what it is. But people can go ahead and let us know in the Facebook group if it was right. But I'm gonna have to try and remember what the whole thing was. But it would be something like this, Jake. I'd say, I maybe we've covered this in an episode, so I might be going over all ground. But I it would be something like, right. So we're in the, imagine me and you go into a bar,
Okay.
and I want you to, I'd ask you for a coin, and I'd put it in your palm,
Yes.
right, like a 10 pence piece, and say, hold on to this 10 pence piece, and say, I'd want you to imagine that you're holding on to some change that you've been given back from the barman, and what you've bought is a shot from the top shelf, okay? And
Right.
I want you to, but obviously don't be too obscure. I know you're a connoisseur of all things fine, but I want you to try and I want you to think of which shot that you would have drunk, but I want you to try and picture or think about the specific location that the product came from. So think about the brand, think about the location. So not just like vodka comes from Russia or rum from Jamaica, but try and think of one where you know precisely more about it. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe you know the exact like state or county of it. Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Got it.
Yes,
So
sir.
you could have like Bombay Sapphire or Pendérin whiskey, and you could have certain like slow gins from whatever, but you have one in mind.
Yes.
So this is either going to fucking work or not. But then I'd say, are you thinking of Jack Daniel's whiskey from Tennessee?
Yes.
And then I'd open up your hand, and what you'd have, that 10 pence is now changed into a quarter from Tennessee, because there's a bunch of quarters you could buy that were special Tennessee quarters that have a little guitar on one side of them. It says Tennessee.
Yeah.
I spent a bunch of money buying loads of those. I was going to release it as an effect. I should never did it because I don't know. I ended up not.
Dude, you should have. That's fun.
Well, the
That's
thing was, if
cool.
it didn't work as the psych force, then I would have it. I'd use the old Daniel Garcia list force, where it was every other item was the fourth one, and you have two lists of one normal list of all the drinks, and then a second list. You just scroll between them, you know. But yeah, but that would hit all. I used to do that all the time in bars, and it would hit like 90% of the time.
That's cool. You know, when you were
I think the
asking
out, sorry,
me.
just because one thing we comment about is outs. I think the out used to be that if it was wrong, I would just be like, okay, that's what we're having, and I just buy shots.
Yeah. Oh, that's a pretty good out. That's the fun out, the party
Yeah,
boy
yeah.
out.
I don't drink anymore, but that, yeah, just because I think that's interesting to know, because most outs are not so like I
Yeah,
would
yeah.
say like that.
I
But
thought you were gonna
yeah.
s I thought you were gonna say you would pull like the was it a quarter, did you say?
Quarter, yeah.
I
You
thought you were
asked.
gonna say you pull a quarter out and say, blah blah blah, and then have some kind of transposition.
No, so it would just be that the 10 pence had changed to a US one.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey seems obvious, but once you start naming other drinks like Bombay Sapphire, because Bombay was Mumbai, which is a state within India or a
Yeah.
city. No, I don't want to get, chastised for that, and then Pendérin whiskey is another one that most in the UK, once you start throwing a few out there, people go, oh yeah, da 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 da. Then if it feels like there was a lot more open choice to it, and it's all about dropping in that, think about the state or the specific county as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah, when you said state, it like clicked with me. But at first, when you said think about the location of it, I thought you were referring to where it is stored behind the bar. And I was like, ooh, that's smart of Lloyd. I know that the whiskey's always on the top left.
Is it always on the top left?
It feels like it, but maybe I just look at the whiskey too much.
Dude, imagine you did this. So imagine you had like you were like, imagine looking at the top shelf of drinks, and you can think that from the left is absolute vodka, all the way down to the right is Zodiac rum.
Yeah.
And then you just like do a time and force in the air. And you're like, right, I'm gonna imagine looking from left towards the right, and then stop now, Jake. All right, you're
Yep.
at somewhere. Think about it as like a letter from the alphabet, then picture the drink, and then keep saying it over and over to yourself in your head, like tequila, tequila, tequila.
Okay.
Then was it tequila?
No, sadly not this time.
Wait, was it rum?
No.
Shit, shit ass. It probably
No.
worked better if we could see each other,
Yeah,
like
I think
clearly.
so. I went for somewhere in the middle of the alphabet, kind of, so I went for gin.
Realistically, there's only a couple it could be.
And I think people will naturally just like pretty fairly think to themselves, well, I can't think of anything for L, so I'll jump back to this or I'll jump forward to this.
Yeah. There was a great oh, I don't really want to give it away. I can't, it's not mine, but there's a book by Ross Taylor. He's an incredible creator. And he's incredible. He's absolutely, he's probably like the only card magician that I see that I've seen that I actually don't know how anything that he's done, how he's shown me works. And I'm serious. I'm running through all the stuff he showed me. He absolutely destroys me. But he had a booklet about mentalism stuff, and it was called Ecroff. And he has a great way to force a drink in that.
Oh, I love
And it's
drink
not
forces.
alcoholic.
Yeah.
Ah,
You can't give it away,
God, it's
but
not mine to even to like perform it over the air would give it
yeah,
away in
no.
a way, because we're magicians, but let me see where it's available.
Yeah,
Because he has
you
a
double
great way
check.
of forcing like a celebrity. You can buy it. Where can you buy it? I just it's called Ecroft. It's force spelt backwards.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll look that up. I don't think I've read any of his work before.
It's like disgustingly good. So good.
I've just sent you on WhatsApp some of the force cards that I'm using. I think you might like them. It's because they're built in as if, well, they're not force cards. They're built in to have a purpose within this deck.
Oh, wow.
Like, you see what
Whoa.
they're about?
Okay, this is interesting. Ooh.
And so I've been going through a few of them, making a few different ones. I've got to make a fair amount of them, just because of what the deck consists of. It's split into three group separate types of cards that can all go together. But yeah, that should be fun.
I'm excited about this. Did you just let on it was a deck?
What, sorry?
Did you just let on that it was a deck?
Yeah, I've already said that anyway. It might not come out. I might just get a set printed for myself, but I want one.
Definitely coming out because it's so good.
Oh, thank you, man.
I went to shoot a project with Craig Petty on Monday in Birmingham,
Yes. Yeah.
and he brought along your book, and
Oh, did
he's
he?
reading
Did he
it.
paint it?
Yeah. No, he's partway through reading it, and Nemed was also partway through reading it too, your Unholy Road book.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I gave Nemeth a copy.
Yeah, so I can't remember what he said. He's like, oh, your friend Jake is into some weird shit. I was like,
Yeah,
that's
that seems
right,
about
man.
right. That's the usual response. Yeah.
Have you got this is slowly turning into a sales pitch, but it's not. You've only got like a few copies left, haven't you?
I think there's like 11 or 12 of them left.
Well,
I
go
don't
if
think I'm
anyone
gonna
has,
have one
go
for
snap them
myself.
up, jakekeen.com, and you can pick up Unholy Road and whatever goodies you've got bundled on there.
Yeah, good old Tyler Lunsford bought two off me. I don't know why.
Did he?
Yeah,
What a legend.
I know.
Love that damn Yankee.
But if anything crops up in your mind about what could be a very unusual psych force, I'm looking for some very new and different ones at the moment. So please let me know, because I want to fill that with as many of them as possible. Because it makes sense in the little routines I've made up in my head why like they would come into play after some of the other effects.
Oh man, I could honestly, we could do an entire podcast series about psych forces.
Yeah, dude. It's such a bizarre thing to come up with. And someone the other day I was on Craig's VMC for Netrix members, and someone asked me about how you come up with a psych force, and I said it's the same as coming up with any other idea, really. You don't really know where it's come from all the time. And a lot of the time with me, it's just recognizing some kind of shared trait. Or, whenever I notice a shared trait between people, I want to take advantage of it. I have a release called Mind Spider that is just about the fact that sometimes when you mention spiders or bugs, people like get a bit more sensitive, or maybe they'll cringe their neck a little bit. And there are certain questions that I ask during mind reading acts where it is just, I know people will say yes, or I know it will evoke a certain reaction. And it's just recognizing traits for me. That's usually where it comes from.
Yeah, noticing traits, noticing patterns as well. Like, you know,
Yeah.
if you for some reason, like on alcoholic beverages, I think that's the thing that got me to it originally was like, if you say, just finish the sentence, vodka, rum.
Cocaine. Sorry, what?
Never mind. I used
Sorry,
to find,
drinks.
like, if I said vodka rum, people almost couldn't not say whiskey next.
Right, okay.
One of the things that led me down the path of that. But yeah, some things you look for that. I used to try and look for really ridiculous things that were like a universal thing. I remember once I was trying to force the number four by getting someone to think of a table and how many
Right.
legs it had. And I was obsessed with this thing. It was the stupidest idea. It was something like it was something along the lines of imagine being in a house and imagine like all you have all these different pieces of furniture. And imagine some of them were almost coming to life. And whatever it is that you can picture of it, count. It was so fucking dumb. I'm like, oh, so if it was a TV, you know, its main prominent feature might be its eyes. So you'd say two eyes. If it was a spoon, it would have a handle like an arm. So I would hope that they would think of the table. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't even lie.
Oh,
And
the
the other force that I played around with was it was actually this one kind of does have legs. I don't mind the pun. And it was right. So this okay. Now this is only coming back to me now, but it was something along the lines of this. Jake, I want you to imagine a time in your life when you were younger.
Okay.
All right, and a time when you found like everything exciting and magical, and you had no stresses, no worries.
Oh, a long way back then.
I don't want to know, but honestly, keep it all to yourself, yeah?
Yeah.
And I want you to imagine that you're maybe, actually, don't tell me anything about it, but imagine there was a certain time in the day where you'd feel like you were sometimes counting down for that time of the day to come, and you'd be like, yes, and then you'd go off on your merry way. Like, okay.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and just pick if obviously if this is a this is a time of day, just focus on the hour hand on the clock of what time it would be.
Right, okay.
So you have a number in mind, and that number could essentially be from 1 to 12 or 1 to 24 if it's a 24-hour clock, but 1 to 12.
Yeah.
And then, so you're a complete freak, so you definitely got this wrong. But on the count of, is the number three?
What was that? Sorry.
Was the number you were thinking of three?
It was.
So the idea is that you'd say, like, think of a time in your life when you're carefree and young and had no worries, which could only be school age.
Yeah.
And then you say, think of a time of day when you would be counting down the hours to hit that time. And obviously, a school finishing, 3:30 in the UK. And there was all other stuff written in, which there'd be some reframing. So, like, you would say, like, now for me, I would be so excited to get home and eat my dinner at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
I know, like, my wife, she would be super excited on weekends at midday to go ice skating. So everyone's got a different number, everyone's got a different time. But you've got one that's unique to you. And they'd say yes, and the number would be three, depending on what country they lived in and what time they finished. But that was kind of, yeah, that was the thing. I didn't have any real trick to go with it.
Yeah. That does have some legs, though. It's almost the same type of framing that would go with something like a drawing duplication.
Yeah, drawing a picture of a clock. Well, it started from the phrase, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right.
That was like the inspiration of it. I was like, oh, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere. And then it went to like this whole, well, yes, it's all like everybody finishes in the UK school at the same time. You know, a lot, because I remember going like in this thought path of like, well, everybody finishes work at a different time.
Yeah.
People do shifts, some people, you know, close shops at 4 p.m., 5 p.m. But in the UK, at least, at an age when it's not nursery, it's always 3:30.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's an interesting one. If you can just obscure the fact that you're forcing them to think of school and finishing school for the day, then it can seem like you've got a lot of options.
Yeah, I think it does have legs, man. Shouldn't definitely don't write that off. That's fun. I think it could be, you could evolve that to somewhere pretty cool.
I don't know. Maybe you can do that instead.
Oh yeah, I can just steal it. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
true.
you
That's what I do best.
don't.
I know, God, no. I would not be able to live with myself if I ever took anyone else's work.
Yeah, seriously. I need you to stop influencing me to be a mentalist, by the way, because the more I'm thinking about mentalism idea, the less I'm creating visual stuff at the minute.
Oh
The other
no, am
day,
I
just
affecting your
looped my mind.
YouTube career?
What?
I said, am I affecting your YouTube career?
No, but yes.
Apologies, I'll lay off it. Let's go back to should we do an episode entirely about like snap changes and stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would be really cool. Remember that episode we did about the knot on a piece of rope on a piece of metal, the knot on a necklace becoming a metal, becoming a silver ring when
Oh,
you,
that was killer,
and
man.
then was it the guy's name Skull and Bones or something? Bones, what?
Skull bongs.
Skull and Bongs, yeah, from, I want to say Indonesia.
I
And you
can't
actually
remember where it was
create, you
from.
actually made it become a reality, and it looked even better than we'd even thought possible.
Yeah, he used a killer handler, and it was someone else's handler, and he combined it with the idea of the effect we had.
Yeah, so
Yeah,
cool.
he made it look great.
Oh yeah, we need to share. Did you ever share that in the Facebook group?
Yeah, I think so. I think
Okay,
so.
good. It probably would have helped if I'd been a member this time last year.
I'm assuming you've just went on there to snoop at me and make sure I'm not posting too much shit.
No, I don't care what you post, man.
Don't say
I
that.
literally, I literally joined because I wanted to see the answers to the psych force.
All right, okay. Fair enough. You know
I'm
what?
just
We
trying to,
go on.
huh? I say, I really just like don't like social media.
Yeah. I try and stay away for the most part, besides Instagram.
Yeah, even that I don't like.
It is a shame though, because as I'm trying to make connections in the magic industry and stuff like that, there are people who only have Facebook because they're a certain age and they might not have all the other social media channels. So I do have to keep it knocking about for some things.
Yeah, well, I was saying this to Kaylee. Well, I've said, I mean, saying it for donkeys as long as she can listen to me. But like, if I if my literal work wasn't like social media heavy,
Yeah.
I wouldn't even have a Facebook or Instagram.
No, same. The only reason I have to have Facebook is because most of like the majority of my past work, it involved social media advertising and digital marketing, and I had to have an account so that I could monitor other accounts and manage other accounts.
And you fucking love it, so.
Yeah, I fucking love it.
I'm
No.
sorry for swearing so much in this episode. I feel like I'm letting you all see behind the real curtain.
No. People are used to it. I don't know why you're so bothered. This is like 10% of the swears in other episodes. It's fine.
Very true. Yeah, especially like the magic podcast.
Yeah, and I have to click the little E for explicit button whenever I upload these. It's fine. I just do that automatically now anyway. I don't think it
Pavlovian
limits the
conditioning.
viewership whatsoever.
What?
I don't think it limits the viewership whatsoever.
No. No one watches it because it's an audio podcast.
Listenership. I don't know.
Here's a
So
cool
I
thing on the internet is that there's a George Michael coin that's been released by the Royal Mint, and
really?
yeah. And it says something about his song Faith. If you could find one of those coins, you could definitely like force the song, give them a 10p piece, thinking it's a normal one, and change that. Or am I just hallucinating?
No, that's quite an interesting idea because I do have a little glass jar somewhere on one of my shelves that has got, a
Children's
bunch to
teeth.
the children's teeth, and then the jar next to it has got commemorative 50p coins with stupid stuff on like the Peter Rabbit ones or the Olympic ones.
Oh yeah. Oh, I used to have a trick with Olympic rings that was a psych force.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even gonna get into it now. But I used
Can't give
to.
away my best material.
It was so bad. Anyway, I think we've been going for like about an hour now, haven't we?
I don't know. The whole concept of time has been lost to me. I'm fully dead to the world.
Yeah. Jake was telling me off air not to get into it, but like, you're so ill that people have been offering to bring things to you, and you literally can't get to the door, to the gate, to let people in. And
yeah,
you know you're in a bad shape. So send
yeah, it's bad.
Some virtual hugs to Jake.
I'm sweating just from talking. So the Blackpool plague has fully engulfed my body and my soul.
I honestly, right, man. When I was filming on Monday, Craig was coughing up a lung. Nemed was in such a bad shape that he was like coughing, he had to keep leaving the room, and then he fell asleep filming. So I looked over, I was like, give Craig the eye. You'll probably see it when the project comes out. I'm like giving Craig the eye at one point. I'm like, is he fucking dead? Or because he looked like he had one eye half open and his other eye was like rolling around the back of his head and his eye was flickering. And I thought he looked convulsing.
Oh God. That's an extreme reaction to the length of Craig's tutorials.
Yeah. And then I had to go to the doctors yesterday because normally I wait till I'm in your condition. But I was like, oh no, because otherwise I'll lose my fitness for runs. So I went in to get, because I can't take a full breath at the minute. I cannot get a full lung inside me. So if you've got it, what I'm saying is you've got it. Craig's got it. I feel like I'm doing the trailer for Rise of the Skywalker. My father has it. You have it.
I know. We shouldn't have been kissing each other.
Yeah.
That stupid podcast meetup.
Oh, don't. Okay. Anyway. Kill me. Okay. Right. Anyway, guys, I hope you all enjoyed episode 44.
Yeah, 44.
That means in 2 months from today, so in 8 Wednesdays' time, it'll be the first full year of this podcast.
Hell yeah. If we were presidents, we would be Barack Obama.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I just clung on to that. I managed to just like pull myself over the edge of that number 44 reference.
And also, before we go, happy Global Scouse Day.
Is it Global Scouse Day?
It's Global Scouse Day. I think that might be the cure for my my illness. I'm going to go to the shop and try and make myself some blind scouse.
It's St. David's Day in Wales on Friday.
Oh, nice. I don't know who that chap is. Is he like a darts player or something?
Do you know what, man? I don't have a fucking clue, but I didn't know that like my kid has to dress up in like a little goofy red uniform.
Excellent work.
And Kaylee's so hyped on it.
Oh, dude.
Oh my god, no, he's not that cute. Anyway, guys and girls, and everything in between, we love you all. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, 5 o'clock Wednesdays for the Black Art Podcast. To better health. Let us know your thoughts on these psych forces. Let us know if any ideas stood out to you, resonated with you, if you can improve them, if you have different or better ones. And you can do all that via the blackartco.com, where you can get a link to the Facebook group, where you can just search the Black Art Podcast like discussion group on Facebook. Don't forget, pick up Jake's Unholy Road book while there's the last final few remaining copies. It's so good that some people are picking up two, and some people are not even sharing. Oh, yeah. Bought one each, even though they could have shared.
That's just www.jakekeen.com, and the top link is a little picture, and it says the Blackpool bundle.
Yeah,
it comes with the book and the £10 page test.
Amazing. All right, guys, well, hopefully Jake's fine and dandy by next week, and we'll speak to you, we'll be entering into your ears this time next Wednesday.
Peace.